so much, worship team, for preparing our hearts for the word. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready? Did you walk through those doors ready to hear the word of God? I am so excited to be up here preaching. If you don't know me, my name is Cameron. I'm a youth leader here at City Lake Church. I get the opportunity to preach, and just welcome. If this is your first time, welcome. If this is your thousandth time, welcome. We're so glad you're here and you're with us, and I hope you came this morning prepared. I am preaching on my favorite story from the Old Testament. I'm very excited. It's found in 2 Kings 22 and 23. It's the story of this king who restores the kingdom of Judah. But we got to go through a little history lesson here, so I hope I don't bore you this morning when we go into just a little bit of history. You see, at this time in the land, what has happened is there was a northern and a southern kingdom, right? Israel split into two kingdoms, and the northern kingdom came, and it got destroyed by this other kingdom called Assyria, and then only was left was the southern kingdom, and there was this king in the land in the southern kingdom, and his name was Manasseh, and what he did was awful in the sight of the Lord. He reigned for 55 years, and every single year, basically, he did something worse than the last, and what he did was he took the temple, what Solomon built, and he divided it into four parts. And to each one of the parts, he divided it, he set it to a different cult, a different god, a different star. You know, they started to worship the sun, they started to worship horses, they worship bulls, they built a new golden calf. Remember that story from Exodus? They built a new one, and they put it in the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's what they did. So this man, he reigned for 55 years. It was just disaster after disaster. The people turned away from God. They took the word of God and they put it into storage. I want you to think about that. They took the word of God that was supposed to be read, that was supposed to be declared over the people, and they put it into storage in a U-Haul box to collect dust, right? We moved in August. We still have some stuff in storage. I'm not going to lie. We're like mostly unpacked, but not fully, right? You know, it's been almost a year. They put the word of God in storage for 55 years. It wasn't read in the land. You see, when Manasseh died, his son took over. And his son did even more. His son took and sacrificed goats at the temple, which is something that was never supposed to be done. And he defiled the temple of the Lord. And he only reigned for 2 years. And then he was actually assassinated. And his son, who was 8, named Josiah, took over, and he became king. Imagine that. You are 8 years old, and your dad has been killed by these people, and they come to you, they're like, guess what? You are the king now. That is a terrible way to take over a kingdom. And so when Josiah begins his reign, it kind of just is status quo. Everything is the way it's been done before. He's keeping the statues of his grandfather. The temple's still divided in four. And after 12 years, what they decide to do is they decide to renovate the temple. Now, they're not renovating it because, you know, they want God's house to look great. It's not like us where we want God's house to look good. We want a new carpet. We don't want people spilling drinks on each other like we said, right? No, they're renovating the temple because they now want to divide it not just into four, but to 8. Because they want to dedicate it to 4 more foreign gods. So they're going to renovate the temple. Now, where are they going to get the money for the renovation? They say, well, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff in storage in the temple. So what we're going to do is we're going to go down and get that stuff. These are the emblems that Moses commanded them to make that was put forward in the law that they would have. They're going to take that, they're going to melt it down, they're going to turn it into gold and silver and bronze and give it to the people so they can take this temple and divide it even more. And they go down, and so the king, Josiah, he says to his servants, hey, go in that storage room, that area with all the U-Haul boxes, and let's get all the stuff and let's sell it. And while they're there, while they're digging through these boxes, the priest, his name is Hilkiah, and he's got the term priest, but let's not forget, the people have turned away from God. They're not sacrificing. They haven't celebrated the Passover in over 100 years, right? This is where they're at. They're at this low point. And Hilkiah, he's digging through these boxes looking for stuff to sell, and he finds, covered in dust and cobwebs, the word of the Lord. This is where our story takes off. It says in verse 8, Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Most scholars agree that when they say the book of the law, what they're talking about specifically is the book of Deuteronomy. Some scholars would tell you this is Deuteronomy and Leviticus. We don't know, but either way, it's either one or both of those books. So he gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and the supervisors of the temple." Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." That just sends like this shudder down my spine, right? The word of God has been in storage for 69 years, and here we are, and he says, "I found a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. The first thing that happens in our story this morning is the people lost the word. The people lost the word. I mean, let's be honest, as Christians, you know, have you ever gone through a time in your life when you're like, "I know I own like 8 Bibles, but where are they? Is it in my nightstand? Is it tucked in my desk? Is it with my notebook?" Right? Isn't it? You know, we go through these periods, I think, if we're honest with ourselves, where we lose the word. Right? I know I've gone through this in my life where I'm like, "Oh, I don't have any motivation to read the Bible. I don't really want to read it right now." What made me, you know, think of this message, this verse, is I've just seen too many people through this time of COVID fall away. They've fallen away. And I don't mean to offend, and I hope I don't step on any toes, but what I've seen and what I've observed in my own time in the church, not that it's been that long, but in my own time, what I've seen is that people who don't form their foundation on the word of God fall away. People whose foundation is worship, I mean, worship is awesome. Wasn't worship awesome this morning, drawing into God? It was so good. But people whose foundation is worship, they fall away. People whose, you know, foundation is, you know, just like the community, they love being a part of Bible study and being groups and being everywhere, which is great. That's awesome. But if they don't read the word, if their foundation isn't right here in the Bible, they fall away. I've seen this time and time again. It's so true. Why is it so hard for us as Christians to open this up? You ever thought about that? You know, like, I don't know about you, but like, I am highly motivated to watch a Dodgers game. I am highly motivated, you know, to like turn on Netflix. Those things are easy for me. I'm highly motivated. But my motivation to read the Bible sometimes, if I'm being honest, is just lax. I'm like, I'll do it twice tomorrow, right? You know, am I the only one? The people lost the word. This is a state we can be in, and we see this in the history of Israel, that they lost the word. See, I've preached this before, and I'm going to preach it again. I promise I'm preaching it today. In Genesis chapter 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" See, I believe that is still our enemy's plan every day. Why is it hard to read the Bible? Because that's our enemy's plan, is to keep us away from this. If he can keep us separated from this book, if he can keep us distanced from the word of God, he will defeat us, and he knows it. He's had one plan from the very beginning, and he plays it again and again and again. Did God really say? Did God really say that? Did God really say we should forgive? Did God really say we can't be offended? Did God really say gossip is bad? Did God really say? Church, this has been the enemy's plan from the very beginning. We saw it in Adam and Eve. He separated them from the word. Did God really say? What about Abram and Hagar? Remember that story? God promises Abram and Sarah, "You'll be the father of many nations." And then time goes by. They think, "Well, maybe God, you know, meant this, so we'll do it our way." How did that work out? The people and the golden calf, right? Moses goes up the mountaintop. They're like, "Oh, we've lost the word. We don't know when this Moses is coming back. Build us an idol." David and Bathsheba, we see this again, this man who is so focused on God, when he stops being in the word, when he stops doing what God says, what happens? He falls. And here we see Josiah and the word of the Lord. They had buried it deep down, collecting dust for 69 years. Church, they had lost the word. We were not called to be people who lost the word. We were called to be people of this word with us in our hearts, ready for action. Are we that kind of people? Church, I want you to leave this place this morning encouraged. Read this word. You know what? If you read it every day, read it every more, even more. If your Bible is like dusty and you haven't brought it out for a long time, you don't even know where it is, find it, bring it out, read it. Church, this is my encouragement to you. Read this word, because there's no greater foundation, there's no greater truth than right here. Right, church? Read the word. Don't let the word be lost in your life. Let it be found. So they read, the secretary, Shaphan, he reads the word of God. And Josiah, he tears his clothes and he goes and he sits in ashes. He's like, "What is going to happen? What am I going to do?" And he asks them, he says, "You know, go talk to this prophetess. Her name is Huldah, and she's actually related to Jeremiah." Cool little fact. Because right now, Jeremiah is out there preaching as well. But he says, go talk to this prophetess, Huldah, and ask her, what should we do about the word of the Lord? And we continue our story. It says, tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore I will gather you to your ancestors and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place. So the prophetess says, God says to you, Josiah the king, because of your response to the word, the book of the Lord, this disaster that's going to happen is going to skip a generation, and you will die in peace. So the people lost the word, and the people found the word, right? They dusted it off. And I think, you know, when I read this story, what's really interesting and what really sinks in my heart is that, you know, Josiah, he could have just stopped here, right? He read the word. He was like all upset. He tore his clothes and he thought, you know, oh, this is going to be like a disaster. What are we going to do? He sent word to the prophetess and she said, you're going to die in peace. I mean, that's all right, right? That's okay, word. You're going to die in peace. I'd be okay with that. He could have just stopped right there. He already had the word of God saying, you will die in peace. But he doesn't stop there. It continues on our story. It says, then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. So he gets everyone together, the whole country. He gets them all together. He brings them together and they read every word. Could you imagine if I got up here this morning and I just started reading Deuteronomy? Like, you, come on, let's be honest here, church. You guys walk out, you'd be like, man, we're not inviting him back, right? I mean, so-and-so begot so-and-so, and this is how long, right? I mean, but they read the word of the Lord in the presence of the people, every single one of them. Our story says, the king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. So this nation that has now been, you know, generations of turning away from God, he takes them all. He reads Deuteronomy in front of every single one of them, and they decide to turn to God. You see, the people didn't just lose the word. They didn't just find the word. They read the word. The people read the word in front of everyone. I love that passage. Could you imagine? Got our whole church together. They're just like, today we're going to read Romans. Wouldn't it be amazing what would happen? It's incredible, right? Think about it. The people read the word. Are we a people that are reading the word? I think that about myself, you know, my own Bible reading. And, you know, it's so easy to get caught up with all this stuff, right? Are we reading the word? Are we really sinking our teeth into it? Because if we're going to be a church that's effective, if we're going to be a church that's going to go into our community and spread Jesus, if we're going to be that type of people, we need to be in the word, right, church? That's where we got to be. But are we? Or are we letting ourselves be tempted away from it with all these other things, you know? You know, oh, the game went into extra innings. Oh, I can't, you know, watch or read the Bible now. Like, got to watch the game. And if I'm being honest, church, too often I let myself be drawn away from this word. We need to be a people who read the word. Youth group, every single week, you know, we gather together as a youth group and we play our games, we have our funs, and then when we get up here, we talk about, you know, God. We always talk about the Bible. I've always got these questions for the kids. And if I were to ask them right now and offer them tickets, I'm sure that they would be able to answer all these questions, you know. But we talk about the Bible. How many books are in it? Who wrote what book? Who was it written for, right? Because we're called to understand this word. It's not just something we read. It's something that has life to us. So Josiah, he reads the word in front of the people, and he renews his covenant. And then in 2 Kings chapter 23, it talks about how he goes around the entire country and he destroys all the altars to these foreign gods. As a matter of fact, things had become so bad that at this place called Bethel, they had started child sacrifice at this time. That's what they were doing. And so you remember Bethel, it's this great, it's not just the name of a worship band, you know, like, although it is now, but Bethel was this place where Abraham pitched his tent, right, when he first came to the land. And it's also the place that Jacob saw the vision of the angels going up and down the ladder. It's where Jacob got his name changed to Israel. Bethel was a holy place. The very name meant dedicated to God. And they took this high place, Bethel, and this man named Jeroboam took it and turned it into a temple to these other gods. And they put up all these poles to Asherah where people could sacrifice. And then things only got worse when they started to child sacrifice there. It's this crazy, terrible story. And this place had lived through all these other kings that did good. None of them were able to destroy Bethel. It just stayed as the stain on Israel. And so what does Josiah do? He doesn't allow this stain to continue. It says, even the altar at Bethel, the high place made by Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had caused Israel to sin, even that altar and high place he demolished. He burnt the high place to the ground and ground it to powder and burnt the Asherah pole also. But he doesn't just stop there. I love this next part, and I'm sorry if this offends you, but it's in the Bible. So, you know, whatever. Take it or leave it. Then Josiah looked around. He's on top of this hill, this high place, Bethel. And when he saw the tombs that were there on the hillside, these are the tombs where the priests of these other gods had been buried. They'd been there for generations. They'd been burying these priests in these tombs on the side of the hill. When he saw they were there on the hillside, he had the bones removed from them and burnt them on the altar to defile it in accordance with the word of the Lord proclaimed by the man of God who foretold these things. So not only did Josiah destroy the temple, they picked up the bones, they took them out, they put them on the temple, they burnt those two a second time. Isn't that crazy? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read the word of God, I'm like, there's something I shouldn't do. I'm like, how close can I get to this line before I cross it? You know, like, you know, how far with a movie, you know, like, is PG-13 okay? Can I push it to 14? Like, what about R if it's not that bad? I don't know about you. That's where I'm at. This song, right, I'm listening to. You know, like, okay, the lyrics aren't that bad. Like, it's okay. I'm a country guy. I'm sorry. You know, you can pray for me later. I'm country. You know, like, every single country song, right? It's like, trucks, girls, beer. Let's be honest. Right? I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be listening to this. I don't know. How close can I get to this line? But Josiah, instead of saying, you know, how far do I have to go to just get past the line? He says, no, I'm going to go all the way farther. Destroying this altar was enough. I'm going to dig up the bones of these guys that are long dead and burn them too, because they caused Israel to sin. Imagine if that was our mentality. You know, like, man, my phone causes me to sin. I know that I'm addicted to Facebook or Instagram or whatever images I can find on the internet. I know, I'll burn it, and then I'm going to take the case and burn that too. Right? What if we were like that, church? How much closer to God can we grow? Hey, this thing caused me to sin. I know, I'm going to burn it twice. Come on. Right? But instead, I'm like, I don't know, I really like my phone, you know. I'll be better next week, you know. I'm going to download an app that shows how long I'm on everything, and that'll hold me accountable, right? But does it? No. You know, come on. Church, we need to not ask ourselves, how close can we get to the line? We need to be, how far can we go away from it? Just like Josiah, he didn't just do the word of the Lord. He went past it. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. You know, when Jessica and I were dating many years ago, not that many, but many. You know, we constantly had this conversation, you know, like, how far could we go physically before we went too far, right? And, like, obviously, you know what side of the line I was on. Like, you know, we all know how that works. And, you know, we always had this conversation, like, how close could we, you know, and I always, you know, whatever, you know. And, you know, I'm so glad that we waited, right? Because we got a blessing because we waited, right? And that's in our marriage, and we see that all the time. We're so glad, right? And we get to sit up here and tell our youth, hey, guess what? You shouldn't do it either. You know, because we didn't. It's great. Good. Right? Instead of asking ourselves how close, we got to go far away. And I wonder, you know, if I had been, you know, wiser at the time, we could have even got more of a blessing. Because, you know, we kept going away from that line. We got to start church, not ask ourselves, you know, like, is this music okay? Is this movie okay? Is this video game okay? Is this content okay? And start, like, just taking that out of our lives, destroying it, burning it twice, and seeing what happens. And that's where we find the line. It's only in here. That's the only place the line is. It's right in here. Pastor Doug spoke last week. I loved his message. He was talking about, you know, we have the Spirit. We have the Word. We should know the will of God. You know, in our sermon series, it's your kingdom come, your will be done. And I added on, you know, your word be read. Because when we know the word, we know what his kingdom is, and we know what we have to do for the kingdom to come. Right, church? So this morning, I want to leave you in our time together as we wrap up here. I want to leave you just with a few, five quick things, Bible reading tips, really quickly here. Because I believe we can take those. Church, we need to read this word. We need to let it sink into our heart. So my first tip this morning for us when we read our word is read the word with the Spirit. See, the Spirit was the author of this word, right? It's his words. How cool would it be to read your favorite book with your favorite author there right beside you? Like, wouldn't that be awesome? You know, you get their commentary. You know, anyone else into commentaries for like shows and stuff, right? You can listen. The Spirit wrote the word. You get to read it with the Spirit. Before you sit down, read your word. Take the time, you know, ask the Spirit, hey, help me understand. Help me see what there is for me today. Peter said in 1 Peter, as he was writing this letter, he gave us the greatest piece about how Scripture was formed. He said, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I love that. Carried along. Peter's there writing a letter, and he's saying, I'm being carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's how this was formed. Men were carried along by the Holy Spirit, and that's how we should read it. Carried along by the Holy Spirit. When you open this word, invite the Holy Spirit. See what happens. He said, read the word with the Spirit. Secondly, read the word slowly. I think we can get into this habit where you're like, man, I got to like conquer the whole book in a year, which is great. It's awesome. But, you know, we can get like, oh, I got to like read so much. I need to read 10 chapters. You know, a chapter a day keeps the devil away, right? But Jesus said, when he answered Satan, he said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Church. Oh, that's God calling. Church, we were called to read the word not just quickly, but also slowly. You know, like, take some time, devour a chapter, devour a few verses, read it repeatedly, see all that God has for you. You know, this is living and breathing. God's got something for you. Take the time, just pick a chapter, read the word slowly. My third point this morning is in contradictions, read the word quickly. So take a book, take an hour of your day, take a book of the Bible, read it all the way through, not the whole thing. You know, start somewhere little, like, you know, start with Philemon. That's a really great place to start, nice and little. You know, take a letter from Paul and just read. It's four chapters. Just sit down, read it all. See what Paul was trying to speak, or the letter writer, and then grow bigger and bigger. Read a gospel in one sitting. It's not that hard. Church, if you do that, it's amazing what you'll see when you read the whole thing and the narrative and the understanding. So read the word quickly as well. You know, in our story, it said, all the people from the least to the greatest, he read, that's Josiah, in their hearing, all the words of the book of the covenant, all of them. Take them in, read the word. My fourth point this morning is read the word repeatedly. Don't be afraid to take a chapter, a book, and read it every day for a week, a month, who knows how long. When I first became a Christian, I don't know what it was, but I latched on to Proverbs 4. That story, that narrative just really spoke to me. I read that chapter every day for the first year of my walk. And I just, something about it,